Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contaminated.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in this evening. We were having a little technical difficulty at the beginning, but it looks like it worked itself out, and I'm very grateful for that. Again, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you for joining us this evening. We've got a great show for you tonight. My co-host will be joining us momentarily, but we're going to go ahead until she is able to come online. I want you to know that we are very grateful. Once again, we are very grateful for all of the callers, all of the listeners that with us each and every week. And I want you to know that we are very pleased to have you. The heart of the matter is everything, and I trust that you all will just stay with us and continue to give us that support in all that you do, because you know what? We cannot do this without you. That's right. You are that important to me. You mean everything to me. You know, my show, with what we're broadcasting over the air, I really, really, you know, I found my thrill when it comes to this. And I am very grateful to God for allowing me to have this weekly broadcast show and the listening audience that I have. And we're growing in leaps and bounds. So I'm very grateful for that. I was in an area today looking for some things at the Whole Foods store off of one of the areas that I frequent. And the heart of the matter, of course, is always everything. Keep that in mind. The heart of the matter is everything. I encourage you all to go in, take a look at my love tidbits from week to week, and stay with that as we bring this broadcast to you all on a regular and consistent basis. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We've got a publication that's out. It launched February 24th. That's right, about three weeks ago. And the publication is going very, very well. I'm very impressed with it. I want to thank the number of people that are supporting the publication. We have, it's growing very fast. I think it's going to eventually become one of the fastest growing businesses out there. I'm grateful for that as well. It's only $4.95. And it has a story. It comes out every Sunday. That's right. Every Sunday it comes out, and it brings a story with it. So if you want to get more information about it, send me an email. Just simply go to online. That's all one word, online at drjessewalker.com. Send me a message a brief message. I'd like to get more information on the publication. Leave an email address where, you know, you can be contacted. So once again, we would love to hear from you. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Please encourage your friends, your family members to tune in each and every week, and we would really love that as we hear from you. Okay, we're going to get ready for the story momentarily. Give us a couple of minutes. But I also have a book, After the Passion, Now What? We're going to be bringing people in tonight to talk to to that issue as well. So stay with us as we continue with our broadcast for the evening. You may find that if the show does go out, it's because they're still working in the studio and there's still some technical difficulty that they're trying to deal with. And so it may interfere with the broadcast tonight. But nevertheless, if it does, we will certainly bring you right back in to refresh everything and keep you going. All right, we're going to my co-host should be joining me again momentarily. Tonight's topic is a very important one. I just want to reiterate some of what we talked about on last week. Some of what we talked about on last week where we discussed the question of is mature love stronger or different than teenage love? Last week was a very interesting show. The topic, once again, is mature love stronger or different than teenage love? And that was last week's topic. Many of my listening audience, it seemed that they were a bit confused about the subject area. They were. They seemed to have been a bit confused about it. My own opinion is teenage love, is mature love stronger or different than teenage love? I say it's definitely different. Teenage love, sometimes you are not fully understanding the components of what love signifies or is really all about. Teenage love appears to be a love that seems to be a situation where there are more feelings attached. That's what teenage love seems to be, where it's constant feelings. Now, not that mature love is not associated with feelings, because it too is associated with feelings. But teenage love is usually based on more feelings than anything else. Doesn't tend to have components of logic around it. Because if it did, if you think about it, teenage love had logic associated with it, more hearts would not be broken as they are. But the good thing about the experience that teenagers go through when they encounter what they consider to be love is that they know what that feeling feels like. It's like being pinched so hard and so often. And then when there's a breakup, they know that they don't want to experience that feeling, you know, like that again. So they tend to associate some logic now to their love, to their relationship, whereas this logic makes them think about, do I just get with a boy? A girl might think, for mature love, do I get with a boy because he looks good, because he's built nicely? And the boy, for the guy, he's thinking, you know what, should I get with this girl because she's drop-dead gorgeous? She's the heart of the matter. Or, you know, does it really make sense? She's got a bad attitude or something along those lines, and then go either way. And then you begin to think about that seriously and say, you know what, that's where mature love starts to come in. You know, I can't tolerate that attitude, even though, wow, she's really good looking or he's really nice looking. And so you start to think along those lines. That's where mature love comes in. And it's more, you start to look at the character of a person more so than just the exterior component of an individual or the outer appearance. All right, once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. If at any time throughout the broadcast you want to talk to the host, simply press 1, and we will be able to bring you in for our discussion, and stay with us this evening, if you will. We're going to go right to the story now, because time is vastly slipping away from us. So that's what we want to be able to do. We want to go ahead and go right to the story. We were trying to give my co-host a moment to join us, but, of course, she travels from time to time, so sometimes it's not as easy for her to get in. All right, here we go. Thank you for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. So please, stay tuned, and we thank you for that, the heart of the matter. Here we go. Fran and Greg, Fran, F-R-A-N and Greg, they had actually dated in high school several years ago. They broke up during their sophomore years of college at different schools. The reason for their breakup had to do with Fran finding out that Greg actually cheated on her more than once while back in high school. Now, 2 years after graduation from college, they met up again and tried to rekindle their old flame. Now, Fran had several offers from guys that were genuinely interested in her, but passed them over to give Greg, her true love, a chance of making things work. Now, of course, things went very well for about 6 months into their now engagement until Fran found out that Greg was up to his old tricks again and cheating on her. Now, this time, he could not deny anything because he was caught in the act with the woman Fran had suspected, which turned out to be one of his ex-girlfriends that he dated in college. Their engagement, of course, was off, and Fran's heart was broken more than you could ever imagine, nearly to the point of actually hating him because she felt he had actually interrupted her life. She could only reflect upon one of the guys she really found interesting that ended up actually getting married after a year of being turned down by Fran. You see, that's got to be heartbreaking because now she has given up guys that were genuinely interested in her to give what she thought was her true love another chance. As Fran approaches 30 with her heart broken and no desires to start over at this point because she is transitioning between the thin line between love and hate. Now, the questions are, and we have 5 questions that we're going to, you know, present on tonight's show. First question is, can a leopard change his skin? That's biblical. Question number 2, do you really think Greg would change from his flirtatious ways? Question number 3, can people really change from addictive behaviors? Question 4, should Fran have taken a chance with Greg, knowing how things went down when she found out he cheated on her in high school? And finally, question number 5, why do you think Fran is so concerned about turning 30 and starting over? Now, please hold on to your seats, your computer, and definitely your phones for the answers, perhaps, to these questions and much more, which brings us, of course, to tonight's topic. Is there a thin line between love and hate? Is there a thin line between love and hate? Part 1, starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. All right, you know, this is, you know, this story, and of course all of our stories are inspired by true stories, and the names have been changed to protect the innocent. We're going to go to the phone lines momentarily, and we're going to ask all of you all to stand by, and we're going to bring in, we've got 863-420. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening?
You have Dennis.
Dennis, thank you for joining us this evening. Dennis, it's a pleasure to have you on here. Dennis, what do you make out of this? First, let me ask you the question. Is there a thin line between love and hate?
Yes, I want to go back to, I guess, the topic from last week. You were talking about teenage love compared to
mature love.
Mature love.
Yes.
There was a story that came on the news today about teenage love. And they were two high school students, one 15, the girl is 15, the boy is 17, who expressed their love in school, in a library, one of the library study rooms. They actually made love in school, and somebody videotaped it.
Really?
Yes. And the girl said it was consensual, but
uh-huh.
That's a teenage love gone wild. By her being 15, that makes it a child pornography when somebody videotaped it.
Wow.
Now it was sent out to other students, and they don't know how many other students has it. And the sheriff department, who came on the television, said, if you have it on your camera, delete it, because if you're found with it, it is child pornography, and you can
wow.
be arrested.
Uh-huh.
That's teenage love. They don't have a sense of knowledge, to understand that you don't do that. Now that 15-year-old who let that go out, since it went out, that will follow her the rest of her life because it went on the World Wide Web.
See, that's the drawback. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. And see, and we as an adult need to teach our children better, but we need to do better as well because we need to have a mature love and because there are adults that will take naked body parts and send it. And we need to be more mature.
Well, I certainly agree with you there, and I think that, you know, that is clearly something that we need to be aware of. And, you know, and that is a sign, Dennis, of teenage love, of what they consider to be love, because there's no logic behind it. And just as I was saying earlier, you know, you've got to have some logic associated with stuff like this here, because if you don't, that is teenage love, and they don't really understand what love is. So,
right, correct.
I certainly agree, and I'm so sorry that something like that happened because that young lady doesn't understand, nor does that man understand.
All no, right, but he could go to jail for that.
Okay, all right.
Now, well, thin line between love and hate? Yes, there's a thin line between it because of emotional feelings. And you know, we can love somebody so much, and the other person does something that the other party doesn't like, and that love for them changes from love to hate in just that instant. And it may be an immature type of reaction, but it happens.
Right. And then that, so therefore you're saying an answer to tonight's topic, is there a thin line between love and hate? And you are saying, yes, there is a thin line between love and hate, because an individual can do something that you don't like, and that love that they want to have for them turns into hate. All right, we're certainly looking forward to your comments tonight. If you want to send us a comment, certainly send it to drjessewalker.com. We will entertain those comments, as many as we possibly can. We're not always able to get to all the comments. We're going to go ahead now and go over to 850-212. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening? 850-212.
Morning, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Okay. 850-212, you're on the air live.
Yes.
Okay. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Did you have a question or a comment?
Comment.
Okay, certainly. We'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts. Okay, we're going to come back to this call momentarily. All right, is there a thin line between love and hate? Dennis, I want to go back to you just for a moment, and I want to ask you one of our starting questions. And the question is, with Fran and Greg, you know, with their situation, can a leopard change his skin? And that's a biblical question. Was it meant to be rhetorical, or was it actually meant to be answered, or just was it really just some food for thought?
Actually, a leopard cannot change, and very few people change from their ways that they practice over the years. Can I say something bluntly?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. And can you make a whole, a housewife or a husband, a whorish person, can you make them a housewife or a husband?
When you say can you make, define the word make for me in this case. Can you make them?
If you marry them, is that going to change them from their whorish ways?
If that's a question for me, no, not at all. No, I don't think you can change anybody.
The person has to want to change.
Oh, absolutely.
And practice the change. And you don't want to wait till they're married for to see if they're going to change.
Okay, but is there a guarantee? Is there a guarantee that the person will change, even when they put forth the effort to change? Is there a guarantee?
No.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. You have no guarantee. If it's a whorish individual, as you said, and they're just trying to put forth an effort to change, you don't have a guarantee. If it's an addictive behavior, you don't have a guarantee that person is going to change. They may do the very best that they can, but unless they've gone through a traumatic or dramatic experience or that something, that sacrifice or some willingness to want to change, unless they've gone through something, that person is really, anybody can change, yes. But I say unless they are really committed and dedicated to wanting to make this change, they're not going to change. That's just my opinion now.
That's my opinion.
Yes, and someone may come along now, the heart of the matter becomes, everything, where they might think, okay, because I really want to be with this person, I don't want to disappoint this person. And some people might say, well, if you pray about things and so forth and so on, that's still, in my opinion, that's still not a guarantee. Unless you really, really want to exercise your free will to say, you know what, I'm not going to go back to that addictive behavior. Because people just don't. Let me try to go to 850 one more time here. 850-212. Let's try to go back. You're on the air. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us this evening?
It's Paul.
Paul, thank you for joining us, Paul. It's so good to have you on the air. Paul, what do you make out of? First, let me ask you. Two questions. One, is there a thin line between love and hate? And then, Paul, do you think that people, like the Bible says, can a leopard change his skin? Do you think people can really change?
I think they can, but it's not a guarantee that they will. I was listening to the last person that spoke, and I believe that if a person really try and want to change, it's a possibility.
We're getting feedback, maybe Paul, from your computer in the background. We're getting some feedback. You might be close to it. We're gonna try to zoom that noise out here. Okay, go ahead.
You believe can you
that,
hear me now?
Like the last caller, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I believe that there's no guarantee. If a person wants to change, even if they pray about it. A lot of times, it depends. I mean, my thing about it is, if the devil have it in for you to be who you are, or to try to have you to be who he wants you to be, then you will be that person. You can pray about it, and hope that you can make a change. But most of the time, it's just a matter of just praying and hope that that you can change. But a lot of times, it's nothing guaranteed.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, it's not a matter of if the devil wants you to be that person. It's a matter of, I'm thinking here, if correct me if I'm wrong, if you're alluding to say that if you allow him to have that power over you to not want to change, then you're going to be that person that you are. Is that right?
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. I was distracted when I was talking, so I said it out wrong.
Oh, okay, no problem. I figured that's what you meant. And I agree with you. If the person will give the enemy the power over them, that because sometimes, I mean, if you're, Dennis mentioned on the air, he asked the question, if you're whorish and you get married, will your marriage cause you to not be whorish? You know, will that change you? And we both agreed that no, it won't change you unless that person desires to change. And I think you're saying the same thing that we're saying, that the person has the desire to change. And then there's no guarantee, is there, Paul?
That's right. No guarantee at all.
There's no guarantee because it's just like someone who is involved in drugs. I mean, they may have been clean for 5 years or an alcoholic. And the term that they use is I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a recovering addict. And so, which means I'm still in, it's a process. It's a process. They're in the process of recovering. And so someone who has a promiscuous behavior, they could very well be in a recovery mode and not even realize that. And so
right.
someone who perhaps marries them has to understand that this person has the propensity to get out there with an addictive behavior, and, you know, there's no guarantee. So now, if you would, Paul, answer the question, is there a thin line between love and hate?
Yes.
And what do you think that thin line is?
Let me see how I can respond to that.
All right. If you want to think about it, we'll come back to you.
Yeah.
We're going
to come back to me.
Come back to you. All right. Dennis, I want to go to you quickly here, and I want to ask this question. We've got another question in reference to tonight's broadcast. And that question becomes, you know, when we talk about change, and I think that you, Paul, and I, we agree on the same page, that unless a person really desires to make a change, you know, change is not going to take place. Did you really think Greg would change from his flirtatious ways? That's question number two in tonight's story. You know, he was a flirt, obviously, in high school, and, you know, he was a flirt. When he left and they went to different colleges, and Fran found out later that day he was cheating on her more than once while in high school. Do you think that he would change his flirtatious ways?
Well, if he
we know that he could. We know that he could, but do you
right.
really think he would?
Well, see, he started in high school, and he continued. And so it's going to be difficult for him to change over these years if he practiced that type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say practice makes perfect,
mm-hmm.
but that true statement is perfect practice makes perfect. So if you were just practicing every now and then, you would not perfect it. But he has been, since high school through
right.
college,
mm-hmm.
he has been practicing that. My son, I talked with him over the weekend, and he told us that he ran into an old friend, and he had the same type of ways that he did. And he's out of college now. He's working, but he had the same kind of ways that he did when he was in high school. He thought he was a player, and he was working at a restaurant, and he had two or three girlfriends at the restaurant, and he picked up numbers every night.
Wow.
So, you know, he is going to be the same way until he is broken.
Well, let me ask you this, since you put it out there and it being your son, let me ask this question because we've had a show on this and we'll eventually get to part two. Do you think some of that is generic where it's, you know, maybe have been something that took place with your own life that he may have inherited, picked up?
With his own life?
No, from you. You know,
no.
that he, as his father, you know how they say
no,
generation.
No. It's a friend of ours. It
oh,
was
not
my
your son.
No.
It wasn't your son. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize for that.
Right.
Okay.
He was talking
okay.
about the young man that we knew.
Oh, your son was talking about the young man that you knew. Well, that's a rather dangerous situation. If he had three girlfriends at the same restaurant,
right.
that can be, you know, I can just hear the dishes dropping or being thrown all over. Oh, the restaurant. I'll get perhaps that information from you off the air so I know not to freak from that restaurant. Okay. Let me, so do you think that in this case that Greg would change his flirtatious ways?
You see,
do you think that
only,
he would have?
Only,
I'm sorry?
To me, the only way he would change is that he fell in love with somebody and they kind of did him the same way.
Mm.
because he can't see it right now. He sees his way as being the right way.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he'll flirt until his life changes.
Well, you know, truly, and you got a point there, because it may have been that there have been some of those ladies that Greg may have dated that really didn't matter very much to him.
Right.
And it was maybe something to do. And then perhaps once he comes across someone that he really falls in love with, and for whatever reason he can't have her, then where the heart of the matter in that case, then it may be so devastating to him that that's the trigger, you know, the dramatic experience or the traumatic experience that we talk about that make him realize that, you know what, I'm reaping what I sowed, and now I want to change that behavior. So that becomes an interesting thing. Let's see if we can go back to Paul for a moment and bring Paul back in, see if he has a thought, and then we'll go to the phone lines again. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you have another thought on the thin line between love and hate?
Well, what I was thinking about is that you have, every day you have people that's in love with each other, and the next minute or day or two, at any given time, they can fall out of love. I mean, you could be happily loved, and then next minute you could be like a monster. So nobody knows the mindset of a person. Because at any time that can happen. You could think this is the perfect marriage or the relationship, and one minute you're happy, and the next minute you're just totally lost, like a monster, and nobody knows what's going on but you. So
right.
That's my thought of having a thin line between love.
Right, and I certainly agree with you, and we mentioned that earlier as well. That, as a matter of fact, Dennis brought that up, that today you're in love, and tomorrow, for whatever reason, you seem to not be in love. We're going to, Paul, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a moment. We're going to go to the phone lines, 954-226. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, give us your $50 opinion.
How about $100? Anyway, you know, I really kind of sort of blame Fran for getting herself into this situation, considering what happened, you know, with this same person earlier. I take it that she thought that he had changed, you know, but she probably should have given him some more time before she got into it, because she knew that she got hurt by him before. Is there a thin line between love and hate? I believe that there is. Sometimes I think the same reason or the same thing that he might love about the person can be the same reason that turns you completely off from the person and make you actually hate that person, you know? So, yes, I do believe there's a thin line between love and hate. But I wanted also to comment on something that maybe Dennis or Paul or maybe even you said earlier, a short time ago, that if the young man becomes so in love with someone, then he might want to give up his flirtatiousness and settle down. But what happens over time when he might not be so in love with that person anymore? Is he going to change back to his old ways? You know, so I think that if he's changing only because he's in love with someone, that's the wrong reason, and it won't take too long for him to go back to his old ways. For him to genuinely change is if he really wants that for himself, and he can if he wants it badly enough and ask God to help him and is determined to change for him. But if he's changing for a female or for someone else, in no time I think he can go right back to his own self.
That's an interesting point, and we appreciate, Rose, your $100 opinion on there, and that was well worth it. You know, now I've had different topics over the air over the last nearly 4 years, and one of the concerns has been that a lot of people believe in giving people a second chance. Now, Rose, here I'm hearing you over the air mention that you blame Fran for giving Greg this opportunity, knowing what he had done to her in the past. Now, I've had callers that would probably disagree with you and feel that everybody, and you yourself may even say that everybody deserves a second chance. So now, where's that second chance here? And see, a lot of my callers get on me when I'm talking about, you know, I don't rush to give a second chance to things.
No, I believe in second chances. I am not going to say I don't, because I do believe. But maybe she should have taken extra precaution. She shouldn't run into it, you know, so quickly. She should have, you know, maybe do her some more homework to make sure or to be convinced that he is not the same person he used to be.
Well, you know, Rose, I would definitely have to say I'm not sure if I agree, because even no matter how much homework you're going to do, you're not going to really know. It's just like a person can date somebody for 5-10 years, and that's dating. But until you actually live with that person, until you start living with them, and then we're going to go to Dennis in a moment, until you actually start living with that person, that's the only time you're going to really see their true colors. So, you know, even with the second chances, and I do believe, contrary to what some people might think, I do believe in second chances. But I believe that you proceed with caution when it comes to second chances. And perhaps Fran should have done more. I mean, she should not have rushed to certain things, because there were guys that were genuinely interested in her, and she was genuinely interested in one of them. But sometimes, you know, that true love is hard to die. And it's like, you know, we're gluttons for punishment sometimes, thinking that people have changed. Dennis, let's go to you real quick. What about this second chance issue? Do you blame Fran as well?
No. Fran just had a loving feeling for this fella. And
okay.
Love, you know, sometimes people say love is blind.
Uh-huh.
She was just hoping for the betterment of the relationship. And what's the man's name again?
Greg
was just very convincing that, you know, he was a nice person.
Okay. Does this make Greg a bad person?
Well, when I say a nice person, that he was being honest with his feelings.
Okay.
And I don't think he was being completely honest. I think he was saying what he thought she wanted to hear.
Okay.
And she went with that. And when she went with that, it kind of backfired on her.
Wow. You know, then the question becomes, can people really change from addictive behaviors? Rose, let me throw that one out at you. Do you think that people can really change from addictive behaviors? And you know, when we think of the word addiction or addictive, we're thinking usually something associated with alcohol or drugs, and people fail to realize that you can be addicted to sweets. You can be addicted to porn, as you mentioned earlier. You can be addicted to watching certain television programs. And you can certainly be addicted to romance and a multitude of relationships. So when you hear the word, and, you know, the other part of the question is, when you hear the word addicted, what comes to your mind?
Can I go to your first question you asked?
He did ask two or three questions, didn't he?
Yes. Can anyone overcome addictiveness? If I were to say no to that, then I would not believe in God, you know, because I think God is all-powerful and he can do the impossible. So I do believe that someone can overcome their addictive behavior if they truly want to, if they put God first in this, give it to him, and it takes... It's a process that they would have to go through. Does it mean that they cannot have a relapse? No, they can. Okay? But I believe that they will fall. If when they do fall, they'll pick themselves back up or allow God to pick them up again, and they start the process again. Okay? So I do believe over time someone can overcome their addictive behavior if they truly, honestly want to, and if they ask God for help and put their trust in Him. That's my belief.
Okay, so having said that, now, Dennis, I want to throw this out at you, and then Rose, we're going to give you an opportunity as well. And that is, okay, here's Fran and Greg. Okay, Greg has this innate, thing about him, this innate behavior about him. Now, all of a sudden, he gets with Fran. There's no doubt probably he's really in love with Fran, but he's got these addictive behaviors that follow him because he's the same person. Now, should Fran be his experiment while he's going through the process of trying to come out of this addictive behavior? Let me go to Dennis first. Should she be his experiment? Remember, now they're engaged, but the engagement is off because he, you know, leopard can't change his skin. He just, no matter how much he tries, it's a process. Now, should she just hang in there and wait? Dennis, let me go to you first.
Well, that's a hard thing. Should she hang in there and wait?
Mm-hmm.
What is she waiting on him to do? Fall again or to get better?
Yeah, so he can, you know, he's praying about this. Now, you've seen people that pray about it, as Rose said, and they still don't come out of it. And so should that other party just hang in there and wait until they get their breakthrough, even if it means bringing HIV to them? I mean, come on, Dennis, tell me. Should she just hang in there? At least he may get his breakthrough. But meanwhile, she's got something rather than nothing. I mean, help me make sense out of that. You say it's a hard one. What's so hard about it?
Because she has this loving feeling for him.
Yes.
And just to drop him is hard. You know, and it's hard on her. Because she wants it. She feels that he wants it, and that's why she was there. That's why she allowed him to say, come back.
Interesting. Rose, let's hear from you.
Well, obviously, friend knows better than waiting. That's why the engagement is off. No, I do not believe that she needs to sit around and wait on him. Number one, he needs help. He needs professional help. Okay, so he needs to seek that. And no, now that he has done the same thing to her as he did in high school, she needs to now move on and don't look back at all. Don't look back. And like I said earlier, he needs to change for him, not for some female, because then he'll just keep falling. Every time he falls out of love with somebody, or he'll just go right back. So he needs to want to change for him, and he needs to not be involved with anyone. He just needs to go through counseling and get the change he needs.
All right, Rose, while we've got you on the phone, we're going to stay with you for a moment and ask you this question. The story gives us an account that Fran is so concerned about turning 30 and starting over. Now, I mean, we can all speculate, but let's get a woman's perspective or point of view on why is this time frame so important for her. She's about to turn 30, and she's concerned about starting over. Of course, she doesn't have any kids.
I guess she thinks that her biological clock is ticking, you know, turning 30. Most females like getting married at least in their 20s, you know, so that they can start a family. They don't want to be in their 30s and just having their first child. So I suspect that Fran is a bit concerned about that. You know, she might want a family. She's turning 30. You know, she wants to probably have her kids before 33. So now she has to wait to meet someone, learn about this person before she can get married, and then probably have a little time with her husband before start a family. So, you know, time is running out on her. So I could understand her concern.
Okay, interesting point. Dennis, do you tend to agree with that? Maybe her biological clock is ticking and that's reason for her concern?
Yes, I agree with Rose. A lot of women are in that category, and they don't want to get past that age of 30 before they have made a move on family.
Right. Now, you know, what I'm thinking, too, this, I think we may be missing something here, how devastating this is to Fran. Because, I mean, here it is, he's reaching 30 or approaching 30, and this has happened to her, and she's the man of her dreams. I mean, it's almost as if her life has been off and on with him when she's missed out on some opportunities. And chances are, had she followed through or followed up with some of those prior opportunities that she had, let's say if she was 26, she may have gotten married by then, 26 or 27, and probably have had her first kid by now with a family. But now, as that biological clock is approaching, I mean, it is devastating how people allow other people to penetrate their lives and with not necessarily any good intent. I mean, sometimes when it's done, it's done. And you need to look at the reason behind why it was done in the beginning and then try as best you can to move on. If it wasn't, you know, if it was not amicable or if it was a mutual agreement to go your separate ways, that can certainly be different because you both intellectually made that decision to do so. All right, let's take some of the comments that have come in, and we've been ignoring those, and I am almost out of time here. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the comments that have come in. We'll try to take at least anywhere from 3 to 4, maybe possibly 5, that have come in. Let's see here. This female writes in, she says, is there a thin line between love and hate? I think there is a thin line between love and hate, and I have clearly experienced it. When my boyfriend cheated on me a couple of years ago, the pain I encountered caused me to not only let him go, but never want to speak to him again. It took some time to even forgive him. I never went back. Does this sound like, Rose, let's go to you and ask this question. Does this sound like somebody that's bitter? Did she do the right thing? Could Fran have learned from this?
Definitely. And yes, she did the right thing. There's no use in... I think when someone cheats on you, it's time to let it go because more than likely that person is going to do it again and maybe again. And they might tell you how sorry they are at that time, but chances are they'll do it again. So it's best for her to just let him go, move on.
All right. Dennis, do you agree with that? I mean, she never looked back. So is she on the course? I mean, is she still mad?
It sounds like she's mad and hurt.
Okay.
Where's that second chance?
That's what I'm thinking. You know, Rose, we want to know that second chance and all the listening.
Now, Rose said,
huh?
Rose said herself that she gives second chances.
Go ahead, Rose. Respond to him.
Yes, I do believe in second chances, but in some things. If he's going to blatantly cheat on you when you're with him, it just doesn't make any sense because if he does it once, he's going to do it again. Do I want to put myself through that? No.
One side.
From what we heard, he cheated. Why he cheated, well, we don't know. But to me, as long as she didn't tell him, hey, go out there and sleep with someone like Sarah did to Abraham, then he has no business going out there to sleep with someone.
You know, now that's interesting. It sounds like Rose says, if the woman doesn't give him permission, then it's not all right. But if she gives him permission, let's take another comment because we're about to run out of time. Dennis, we'll give you the shot at this one. He says, my ex-girlfriend walked out on me because she suspected I was cheating on her. I never told her, but her suspicions were right. I'm so sorry I hurt her and learned my lesson in life to never hurt anyone again, especially when they trust you. I don't believe she hates me, but I know she does not want to be my friend. What do you think about that? I mean,
I think her suspicions were right.
Should she have left him based on suspicions?
I think that man is the man that your last question, that she got mad because he cheated?
Yeah.
I think that was the boyfriend.
Okay.
I think she expected, suspected him of cheating.
So right.
He put him out.
So there is that
thin line.
There's that thin line. And sometimes here it says, excuse me, I'm sorry. Here it says, I was between a laugh and a yarn here. I'm sorry, y'all. And that first one, when you mentioned that, I was looking at it. And she said she never looked back because the pain that it caused her. And, you know, and certainly I'm not taking it lightly, the pain that people experience when they go through something like this, because it does become very difficult. Now, this guy who says about his ex-girlfriend that walked out on him because she suspected. And,
right.
I mean, sometimes, you know, oftentimes you talk to a woman and a woman says, well, we always know. But I don't know how true that is. But, you know, I think that anybody in a relationship, the depth of the relationship can tell you whether something's going on. You know when things change, and you know right around the time when they start to change. So you do have your suspicions. So he must
now,
have done so much.
I want to tell you a true story.
Okay.
When I
we don't have much time, but go ahead.
Right. When I first got married, we dedicated our house to the Lord and everything, and we had the church over. And this young lady came, and she was, say, flirting with me. I never even noticed it because, you know, I was all into my wife, and it got to the point that my wife noticed it, and some other people noticed it. And the pastor was there, and we talked, and fortunately, my wife knew I didn't know. So there was no conflict between her and I, but there's a conflict between the girl and my wife. And what happens at time, you know, women put themselves on men, and men aren't smart enough to understand what is going on. And, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's happening, and we don't know. But the wives pick up on it right away. And I think that this man, you know, didn't know what was happening and being flirted, and the wife got mad or the girlfriend got mad and just left him because she figured he knew. But a lot of times we don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's why I asked the question, the opening question. Should that girlfriend have left him based on her suspicions? I mean, suspicions are not facts. So should she have left him? Did she do the right thing by leaving him? I mean, he acknowledged it. He acknowledged the fact after the fact. But, you know, all she had was suspicions.
Right.
Okay. Maybe we'll leave that one for another day. All right. Let me go on to this other one now. This email writes in, she says, I don't think some people, whether men or women, understand how you can really become turned off from people you may be involved with when there is a breach in the relationship. If it gets to the point where you can't really stand each other, I think that is the time to leave before it turns into hate. That's my opinion. Now, Rose, give me your thoughts on that. I mean, that makes absolute sense to me. Before love does turn into hate, when you get to a point where you just turned off, you know, before it gets to that point, then leave. That makes sense to me.
We're talking about somebody that's married right now, and I don't think you take marriage so lightly that you get turned off so you leave. I think you need to fight for the relationship first. Find out what it is that turned you off. Go through counseling, I believe, before you just throw the towel in. So I think it's deeper than just walking away.
All right, Dennis, we'll give you a shot at the next one here. This female writes in, I remember watching a movie on this very subject, and it had to do with a man cheating on the woman, and it caused her to change her feelings towards him. I remember that movie also. I really don't think men understand the heartache associated with cheating when you are really, truly in love with them. What do you think about that? I don't know if you saw the movie. I think Martin Lawrence played in that movie, and I can't remember the young lady's name, but she played in Tina Turner as well, played Tina Turner in a movie, What Love Got to Do with It. Angela Bassett, that's her, yeah. Angela Bassett and Martin Lawrence. I don't know if you saw the movie, but that was really, really devastating.
Yeah, there's, it's like Gray. He he knew what he was doing, but had a, say, a no-care attitude about it.
Okay.
And
all right.
If you're in a relationship and you decide you want to cheat, yes, it is very devastating to the woman. And if a woman cheats on a man, it's devastating to him as well. As it can be more devastating because it hurts man's pride.
Yeah, science supports that statement as well. Let me take this last comment. We got to get to the food for thought tonight. We do have that. Our producers are letting me know that we're going to go to the food for thought. This male writes in, my relationship with any woman from this point forward cannot be the same because of what my ex-wife did to me when she seriously broke my heart with one of my best friends. They both tried to make it up to me, but I just could not deal with it, so I let the relationship with both of them go. They lasted for about 3 months and now can't stand each other, but I feel like they deserve each other. I'll just say, Dennis, let me give you the last word on that one. Go ahead. Do they deserve each other? And then I got a little food for thought immediately.
Yes, they deserve each other. There's just a rule that you don't go with your best friend's wife, husband. Just, you know, that's off limits.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, they deserve each other. Because nothing good is going to come out of it.
All right. Then on that note, Dennis, Rose, Paul, we want to thank you all for your comments. And those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight, we do apologize for that and ask you to stay with us for next week's broadcast. We're going to go ahead and bring the show to a close at this point. I ask you to stand by for my closing thoughts. Once again, as always, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed in my food for thought are merely those of my own, and like those of my guests or other participants, should not be perceived as a replacement or a substitute for the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, when it comes to tonight's topic, is there a thin line between love and hate? Part one. I am of the opinion that there is a line. There is a line between love and hate. There's also a line between dislike, trusting, being honest, being labeled a flirt or flirting or flirtatious. There's a thin line, or there's a line between having wandering eyes, lusting, and anything else that may be associated with our emotional makeup. With that said, I am not exactly sure how thin the line may be, if in fact it is thin at all. Then again, this could be subject to one's own views, opinions, thoughts, gestures, or interpretation or perception for that matter. Because a person is different, as such, our tolerance levels are different. I personally think those of responsible age may often find themselves in disagreeable conflicts with their significant other when heated or intense that may contribute to one of the parties not feeling the other as a result of the intensity of the disagreement. Thus, such a situation if presented on a constant basis, say daily or more often than the norm, may lead to one or both parties becoming completely turned off from the relationship. This, of course, could lead to a situation where once love abounds, now the line is crossed into fine or thin areas of escalated or compiled emotions that may develop into some of the aforementioned feelings. There could be a chance that when such emotions set in for an extended period of time without getting proper treatment, counseling, coaching, or finding resolve, perhaps through channels of these, whether therapy, ministry, or some other method of emotional assistance, I believe such conditions could lead to an unstable and unhealthy relationship. They may very well give the appearance of a thin line between love and hate. We will repeat this again on next week's broadcast. Question is, if you have felt pain from a breakup, do you think it is fair to cause intentional pain to your significant other as a result of your distrusting behaviors? You may want to think seriously about this one. In the meantime, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and that's simply been my opinion. Now, I trust you've enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did, and please tune in this Friday to your half-hour inspirational program. If, of course, you choose the Bypass Fighters Inspiration Program, please remember to tune in next Tuesday when our topic will be Looking for Mr. Right, Part 1. Please tune in because you really don't want to miss this show. Remember, you must be 18 or older to do so. So until this Friday or next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.